Time to visit with State Senator Jesse Green and get a little legislative update. And, Senator, thanks for taking time to visit with us.
Hey, it's always fun to catch up with you.
Tell me, this week, I know funnel is next week. You've been working on that. You guys have been spending a lot of time moving some things out of the Senate. At the same time, your committees have been getting a lot of material coming in from the House.
Yeah, certainly. So I'd say this is the most crucial part of the session where I'm edge and I'm wondering if their bill is going to die. I mean, you think about it, all the work it takes to get it through your own chamber. You only have 2 weeks to get it through full committee in the other chamber. So this is the part where the highest casualty rate occurs with a lot of bills. So a lot of good communication happening between the House and the Senate. I'd say the 4 years that I've been in office, this is the most times that I've seen House members coming over to the Senate. I think a lot of us have learned our lesson. Like, if you really care about a bill, you better go to the other chamber and talk about it. So that's been really interesting.
Get over there and sell your product, right? And let them know. I did take a look at the schedule, like, for next week. A lot of committee work next week. A lot of committee, and I'm guessing that's part of it. You got to get it out of that committee to meet that funnel.
Yeah, so local government committee, it's kind of interesting. It's always the first one of the week. It's always on Monday. So I have to kind of be more on top of it than some of the other committees. There's only going to be one bill that I'm aware of that I'm going to allow to run from a House file that came over new this year. And it's in regards to nonprofit organizations being able to receive loans from government entities and stuff. And it's more tailor-made to like the Prairie Meadows District and stuff like that. I might have to do a little more research over the weekend, but that appears to be the only bill on the local government committee for next week. But the other committees are definitely going to be more active. Education is going to have a lot of bills that we're having subs for that came over from the House, and that'll probably be my biggest lift for next week. In particular, personally, I'm going to be running the social studies curriculum bill that came over, and I think that's one of the top priority bills from the House that I'm going to have to study over the weekend.
Okay, some of the things that you sent over towards the House, are they still doing okay?
Yeah, no, they're still alive and breathing anyway. I have a feeling a couple House members might be holding them hostage to see what I do with some of their pet bills. But who knows? Yeah, I'm really excited. I got my vaccination disclosure bill over. I would have to say that was my top priority personal bill for the session. And what that is it just requires schools and daycare centers to disclose what current Iowa law is in regards to exemptions for medical and religious exemptions. And I was really disheartened to see how many cases around the state where schools were flat out misleading or lying to parents about what law is, that somehow if they don't have all the vaccinations, they can't go to school. And that's just not true. And so what this bill does is just make sure that we have an honest conversation about vaccines.
Yeah,
it passed out of the Senate, and now it's sitting in the House for some.
I saw that from earlier this week, and I know that, again, it's not the school. It's just basically taking the law that it is and making sure that they understand these are your options, your choices, as I understand it.
Yeah. No, it's a really simple bill. It just discloses what current Iowa law is and current exemptions on student registration forms and any communication that's related towards vaccines. So it's not causing a lot of extra work. That part of the section of the code is really small, so I anticipate there just being a couple lines on each registration form that says, there's these exemptions that are available if you're under this.
Okay. So once, we get to this, then next week, like you said, you've got local government first. Are there any others that you're going to have to be in on, any discussions that'll be going forward then, or are you going to be pretty much...
Yeah. So I would say that almost all of next week is going to, for me, is going to be education. Yeah, I have to organize that local government committee, but that's not even my bill that I'm going to be running. It's, I'm going to have somebody else running that bill. But All my eyes are, and attention is going to be on education. Representative Phil Thompson did a fabulous job this past week passing out the school security bill, which provides a fund to help large school districts hire SRO officers. It's not just large, but also small. But large school districts would be required to be a part of this program. But the main meat of the bill was setting up a program for current teachers to be able to be trained and go through annual and quarterly trainings to be able to carry within school buildings. There's over 33 states that already do this. And it's not something brand new that we're trying to implement here. And I applaud Phil Thompson for his efforts. It came over into our committee now. And Senator Evans is going to floor manage that bill. He's a former superintendent and knows what the districts need inside and out. So me personally, I got a bill from Phil Thompson that he managed out of the House and successfully, and now it's in the Senate. And it's for open enrollment transportation. And and last year, we had a bill on this, but it died because it was too broad. This year's bill is really narrow to where it kind of exempts urban districts, but it really gets at the heart of the matter, which is our area. In these large landmass districts, I think there needs to be more flexibility when it comes to transportation options for open enroll students, and this bill provides those options.
Yeah, that was the one, I think, when it was first going up and he was taking it out onto the floor in the House. Like I said, it's... It designates the size of the district, the next district, in like 2 miles. I think it was about 2 miles.
Yeah, they would allow. And a lot of people will scratch their head and be like, where did they come up with 2 miles? And rightly so, but there's a reason behind it. It was to appease the urban districts so that they weren't cherry-picking within close proximity of some of those large urban districts. Also, it's kind of a unknown handshake status quo type rule that's not in code that most superintendents use anyway. And so this kind of codifies what current practice is already.
So, because I know part of it is a lot of districts don't do it. Some will have little caveats that they put in place, depending on what's going on. So,
And the reason why this is really pertinent to us is Southeast Valley has the second largest landmass district in the state. And so because of that, you have a lot of parents that I get phone calls on that open enroll into Ogden that literally lives just maybe less than 10 miles away from the school building, and they feel like they're trapped and they don't have options. So that's what this bill is really getting at, is pretty really our district.
Does it fall into then allowing the individual districts to implement, or are they required to? Would they be required to? If it passes all the way through and gets signed, I should say.
Yeah, so it's completely voluntary between the receiving district and the parent. So receiving districts wouldn't have to do this. This just allows that option that this conversation to take place between the two. But like I said, it's already a handshake agreement amongst most superintendents in the state, and it just modifies current practice.
Okay. So we get a lot of these now. Obviously, the big thing then will be once we get through up to the next funnel, then you guys have some time to, if they're still alive, you got them you get to continue to move forward and get things wrapped up with them. But the budget's going to be the next big one. March is usually the time we wait for the Revenue Estimating Conference to come out with what they've got, their information. I know you guys kind of always hold off and wait to see what they're doing and what kind of numbers you're looking at, see what kind of change you have from December, and then we get into budget.
Yeah, it's definitely starting to ramp up. This week in appropriations, we ran three budget bills out. One was in regards to community college funding, kind of changing the formula a little bit on that. And that was just an agreement that the community colleges made amongst themselves on to do that, so it wasn't controversial or anything. But one thing that's a little bit different this year is this is the first year since I've been down there that we haven't set an SSA number. And all that is tied up into the AEA conversation. Every week I have thought that we were going to settle this and break it out into separate conversations or whatever. And again, I'm going to have to say that again. I think it's going to be next week that we separate these out and have that conversation. But you can't really have a real budget conversation until you figure out this teacher salary component, what that's going to cost, the 3% SSA versus 2.5% SSA. You're talking a lot of millions of dollars just between a 0.5% there. Also, this that impacts the school security bill that, that Bill sent over. The anticipated fiscal note on that is about $15 million, and it just adds up so quickly. And so I really thought that we would be out on time, and I still kind of think we will. But these are such heavy topics that are still kind of hanging around that we got to get done first before we can really have the other budget conversations.
I know you've talked to, and I know you've gotten calls from the school districts. What kind of numbers should we plug in for new money and stuff in? Not easy until you get some of these questions answered. Like you said, it's got some heavy lifting to go yet.
Yeah, I actually haven't gotten any calls from the school districts. I think they understand the sensitivity of what we're dealing with the AEA conversation. At least half of my school districts want some sort of reform in the AEA. So I think they are being very patient, knowing that if they want some reform, positive reforms to happen, that they're just going to have to wait it out a little bit. But most of the superintendents that I know have done such a great job managing the districts. They know to just kind of budget on 0% increase, just to be on the conservative side. And in situations like this, and then anything that's over 0%, just counting as gravy and as a blessing. So, for a large amount of districts, they do it right, and they just budget conservatively, and they're not sitting there on edge waiting for us to act.
Well, they do have that the property tax budgeting information has to go out here pretty quick. So
yeah,
I know you get some nervous business managers is what you get.
Definitely. And I think because of that, I just personally, I just don't see how we can have this AEA conversation without splitting out the teacher salary component and SSA. We got to get moving on that. But there again, that's my personal opinion.
Well, and the goal I know is for everybody wants to get done and get out early because we got primary coming up in June and stuff like that. And everybody's got some of the campaigning they want to get started on and doing. But got to get business taken care of first. That's the big thing.
Yeah, no, it's remarkable how it's been 4 years already since I filed. It was just today I filed again for re-election. It was really cool to have some Boone students down there, and they were able to witness what that process looks like and take a picture with the Secretary of State. Just blows my mind that 4 years have passed already, and it's campaign time again. And so it's official. I'm on the ballot. Would really appreciate support again. It's just been an amazing experience, and I think there's a lot more I can give to the district.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go this week, and again, because I know it's been a busy week. You've had a lot of different things that have been going on. Like you said, got to get things moved over to the other chamber, and now again next week you've got to take care of, as you said, the stuff, especially in education. Looks like it's going to be a pretty hectic week for you. So maybe we'll catch up with you then as we hit that funnel and. Yeah, get a look at how things are laying out and what how things are going to be moving ahead.
You bet. Appreciate the time, and hope you have a good week.